This morning, Kilauea Volcano displayed a fountain of dazzling power on the Big Island. Today, we bring you a voice for geothermal energy development. Gavin Murphy is a geothermal consultant working in New Zealand, which generates 20% of its energy needs through natural resources. He dropped by our studio to talk about what we can learn from New Zealand's journey harnessing this untapped power.
Well, I guess New Zealand, Aotearoa, has had a long history of geothermal development going back to the late 1950s, early 1960s, and characterized, I guess, by probably three phases. The first being largely in the early days state-led, so the government took the lead on very early exploration and sort of engineering development of geothermal when it was a relatively new science in engineering in terms of power development. And the benefits of that were that early on our country did quite a lot of geological mapping of the different potential reservoirs and did a lot of drilling in the early days, and the government doing that work meant that later in the next phases, as investors came on board and geothermal technology developed such that it was efficient and effective power systems, it meant they could work off the back of that base work and take investment decisions and risk and build geothermal, so that it's now around about 20% of our total national grid generation is just under 20% is geothermal baseload in New Zealand. And I think there's something over 20 separate power stations generating into the grid. And that helps us. In our country, the grid runs between, depending on hydrological conditions and other things, with geothermal as a key baseload, it runs between sort of 85 and 95% renewable on an annual basis. And I guess that early government exploration, support funding, science and taking some of that risk, as we deregulated the electricity industry in New Zealand in the 1990s, it allowed the privatisation and investment sector to get involved in geothermal development, which has led to that level of geothermal generation in our country.
We are looking to help ourselves become more resilient.
Yes.
And we're trying to figure out what is the best path forward. But because you've had this early experience and you've gone through the trial and error and you've made mistakes, what have you told our stakeholders here about, you know, the possible pitfalls, what to be careful about?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're having meetings this week, so that conversation's sort of ongoing. But I think from our perspective, the pitfalls and things, so those early phases were probably characterized by not taking the community, the landowners and mana whenua, the indigenous Māori people of New Zealand, on that journey in an equitable way. I believe that's being done now, and that's where we certainly learned some things from working with IDG here in Hawaii back in New Zealand. So I think the pitfalls, making sure that the geothermal development projects are respectful and equitable for landowners, and that there are community outcomes as part of, as well as a reliable and efficient grid and a renewable grid, that the landowners and the community around the geothermal power stations are part of the conversation and are part of the development. I think we're getting better at doing that in New Zealand. Still a ways to go, but a lot better. I think very early on, we learnt reservoir management is really critical. So making sure that you sustainably develop and respect the geothermal reservoir in terms of reinjecting, managing the reservoir chemistry. We learned some hard lessons in the 1980s, probably. And I think we do that particularly well now. And then I think largely after that, it's through the diverse number of reservoirs we've got, the country's got a portfolio approach to generation. So we've got developments on more than one reservoir, and no one development on the reservoir is too big for that reservoir. So we're commending those approaches to the stakeholders in this country. Take your community with you. Take a sort of a portfolio approach to the development. Make sure you don't put all your eggs in one basket in terms of a reservoir or in one development on that reservoir, and make sure you respect the science and the reservoir itself. Start with that, and the engineering and economics will follow.
So right-size it from the get-go.
Right from the get-go. And ensure that you're adaptive. So as you develop and you have drilling and you have reinjection, that continual science monitoring the reservoir, making sure before you go to the next stage that you check in, you adapt, you review. And so the reservoir science evolves along with the use of the development.
So how do you get past maybe people's fears about this untapped energy and the smells, you know, because people worry about living next to this power?
Yeah, and it's understandable, and it is something that is, you know, taking the community with you means the conversation about those kind of things. And I think it's just a question of being transparent, talking to the community at every stage of the development of what you're thinking and why. I mean, I would commend the opportunity for stakeholders to come and visit Aotearoa New Zealand and see how there are geothermal power station developments in communities, how we are managing, ensuring the reservoirs are sustainable intergenerationally. Importantly, how we've developed, and probably in the last 20 years, a much more equitable model where landowners and communities can benefit from the downstream uses of geothermal around direct heat use, whether it's for other economies or heating systems. And then I guess you just have to work through the science, show the community the science, and have the discussion and debate about what it's telling you around geothermal reservoirs, gases. And I guess seeing is believing. You know, there's over 20 developments in Aotearoa, and as far as I'm aware, there's been no health concerns or issues as a result of those sitting side by side in communities around the sort of upper North Island.
And, you know, there are some proposals at the legislature and how that might fit in with the Hawaiian homelands, homestead land, that kind of thing. Anything about Hawaii and its uniqueness that maybe you don't have with geothermal over there in New Zealand?
Probably a couple of things spring to mind. One is each geothermal system is a bit unique. So the geochemistry and makeup of the fields in Hawaii and the gases and the chemistry will be a little bit different to ours. And so,
better,
know,
worse? I don't know.
I don't think better or worse. Certainly a lot hotter. So from a geothermal use energy engineering perspective, they certainly look like they're very good resources for use. But different chemistry, so different issues to manage around emissions. I think probably the other big difference is the heavy reliance on fossil fuels here at the moment and the integrated generation, grid, distribution and retail model of your energy sector. So ours is very much a deregulated market economy, which allows independent power producers to develop their investments and then they're able to build them and connect to the grid and understand the grid connection costs and the market opportunity for power sales. Here, the challenge, I think, is understanding how an independent power producer of geothermal fits into the grid system. That conversation with policymakers, regulators, and HECO and HELCO is vital in order to get investment confidence to develop here. But then I see some parallels as well. So, you know, you mentioned DHHL in New Zealand. A lot of the geothermal resource sits on multiply owned Māori land, so indigenous land owned by iwi, by families, by tribes. And so the New Zealand model of how you work through that and that conversation with those landowners, some strong parallels to bring here to the islands, I think.
What about innovation? Because we hear lots about how they're doing things, you know, with hydrogen and water and turning that into jet fuel. And so, I don't know, are you using AI at all in any of your applications as you develop geothermal?
Yeah, I think there's small amounts of AI being used in the engineering around the geothermal power plants. I think where the innovation's probably more occurring for us is twofold. It's probably in the downstream uses. So I think for Hawaii, you've got to walk before you can run. And what I mean by that is just get the basics of some geothermal power stations into the system and replacing your fossil fuels, providing an indigenous, resilient, local fuel source for your electricity energy. And those are the foundations. What we've been developing in Aotearoa in the last 15, 20 years is downstream uses for things like drying milk powders, drying timber, although that's been around for quite a while, hothouses for flowers, and more recently, the one you touched on, hydrogen. So we've now got small pilot scale hydrogen plants built off the back of geothermal, where they're using geothermal when the price for electricity in the middle of the night is very low in our country. They're using that energy rather than going to the electricity grid to create green hydrogen, which they're now trialling to put into vehicles and transportation. And I think that's a big future for New Zealand is hydrogen byproducts of geothermal at the right times, clean hydrogen.
Did New Zealand have any difficulty in getting financing, getting investors interested in developing this new technology?
No, not particularly. The range of investment models in New Zealand, but the predominant one is with the deregulation of the electricity sector. A lot of the government energy, national energy company got split up and they sort of moved to a 50% government, 50% private investment model for a number of them. And that's attracted quite a lot of private investment co-owned with the government, sort of a PPP type style. And that investment model's been solid at really developing geothermal generation, along with others such as wind and hydro and solar, but wind particularly. Then there are private companies, which is the organisation I used to work for, that have privately developed separately. And If the early exploration risk is managed by the investors, then debt funding and bankers and financing is readily available for good projects.
Any downside to developing geothermal in your mind?
Geothermal advocate, so not heaps. But I think not the issue with geothermal, but the things you need to manage carefully with geothermal is obviously you have to go where the reservoir is. So you can't, unlike some sources of power, you can perhaps locate them where the customer is. Geothermal's challenge is you have to build it where the geothermal reservoir is, and that's not always where the demand for electricity or hydrogen is. So that's one challenge. So you have to build where the reservoir is and transport your energy to where the
transmission
customer.
Lines. Yeah, yep.
Transmission mm-hmm. lines being typical. And then the other one is it's underground. It takes quite a lot of science. So the early phases of exploration do come with significant risk and uncertainty. And so the carefully managed science-informed stepped program you have to work through in the early years, it's quite high cost and quite high uncertainty until you get to the point where you've been able to explore through drilling the reservoir. So not so much downside, but the early exploration costs and risks weigh heavily before you get to a certain investment. So that's the tricky bit with geothermal, I guess, that early development.
I guess based on what you've seen in New Zealand and where Hawaii's at, we have lots to be hopeful.
Look, I believe so. We're both island countries, both strong indigenous people, and in many cases, the land, the whenua, as we would say, where the resource is owned by indigenous landowners. The community's highly invested in the outcomes in both countries. And I guess that early exploration involvement by the government, the state as it would be here, certainly helped de-risk it in the early years in Aotearoa. So I think there's lots of parallels. I mean, in US mainland, there's significant geothermal. I think by country, the US mainland's got the most geothermal development in the world. So strong sort of background of geothermal on the mainland US to lean on too as appropriate.
Any other final thoughts?
Oh, no, I think it's a huge opportunity. My independent observations, I guess, is, you know, just the level of fossil fuels and imported oils used to power the electricity grid here, both to my mind, looks very expensive from an economic perspective. And I certainly admire the 2045 Clean Energy Initiative, and I just commend the country and the stakeholders for having that initiative, and certainly going to have to work hard to achieve that. And I think geothermal can play a big part in a firm baseload, you know, indigenous power source.
All right. Well, thank you so much. This has been very educational for all of us.
No, mahalo for having me.
And that was Gavin Murphy, a geothermal consultant from New Zealand. He met with University of Hawaii officials yesterday and plans to connect with state lawmakers on his visit here. The Department of Business and Economic Development and Tourism is on his list today.